Lord, thank you that you, Lord, thank you that you long to speak to us, Lord, that even as Sherry goes to speak, Lord, that you want to speak to our hearts. And I pray that you'll do that tonight, Lord, that you'll use her, Lord, you'll bless her, to grant her clarity of mind and speech, Lord, that you'll work in her and through her, Lord, to reveal yourself to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. B'shem Yeshua.
Amen. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It's great to be here tonight amongst everyone. As Garrett said, I had specifically asked if I could speak before Father's Day, and I wanted to speak to you in commemoration of my dad, who passed away about 7 years ago in early July, and was such a tremendous inspiration to me. He is truly a part of me, and as I look into my own heart, I see a lot of him. So this is for him. We are going to explore one of the three parts of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're going to explore the piece of God the Father and discover, like they used to say in the old ads, who's really behind those foster grants. So, little sense of humor there. I'll be using examples from my relationship with my dad to help answer this question as we begin this exciting journey to discover the answer to this burning question. And when I refer to Father God as a loving Father, just I have a little caveat there that it doesn't mean that he's going to give us everything that we want. He'll give us what we need. And it doesn't mean that he's just a yes man. Through my dad, because he was such a tremendous person, I can see a partial reflection of many of the awesome qualities of our Heavenly Father when I think of him. If you had a dad like mine, I'm sure that you feel blessed. And if not, I pray tonight that the wounds that you may have on your heart would begin to be healed, that the blinders that the enemy may try to use to disguise the truth of God's goodness, that it will fall from your eyes, and that you will see the truth as the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us into all truth. And that we'll see this particular facet of the Heavenly Father and what it's really about. When you think of a dad, depending on your experience, it can conjure up a very negative image filled with hurt and sorrow and neglect, as the song that some of us older folks, although I might look a little young, I'm old, Cats in the Cradle, which talks about a dad's neglect of his son. Or you may have a very positive image of fun and laughter, joy and good times. The first thing I'd like to do is pray from Ephesians, if everybody wants to turn there, if you have a Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verse 15 to 23, if we can please pray. Abba, Father, for this reason, ever since I heard about the faith of my brothers and sisters in Yeshua the Messiah and their love for all, I have not stopped giving thanks for them, remembering them in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, the glorious Father, may give to you tonight the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Yeshua when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. In Yeshua's name, amen. I want to start off by doing a little demonstration. I have two friends here, Mike and Kaylee, who are going to be helpful to me. And I gave Mike a little something. If he can just stand right here, and I'm going to have Kaylee stand right there. And I want you to ask your dad what's in his pocket. Can you ask your dad what's in his pocket? Say, Daddy, what's in your pocket? Tell her what I gave you. Now, Kaylee, look at me. Do you believe that Daddy has a dollar bill in his pocket? You do. Do you guys believe that Mike has a dollar bill in his pocket? Oh, we got one naysayer. But the rest of you are full of faith. We'll work on you later. I'll pray for you. Okay. Now, let's see. Do you think that your dad will give you the dollar if you ask him? Go ahead, ask him. Ask him for the dollar. Excellent. You can both sit down. We give them a big hand clap. Thank you for being good. Demonstrated. I'm big on visual aids, as you can see. It is because of a relationship with her father that causes her to have faith in him. He's been faithful and trustworthy over. She's had many, many experiences with him where he has been faithful and trustworthy. And what she did was really take it by faith, because faith is the substance of the evidence of things hoped for, yet you can't see it. So when she came up to her dad and he told her that there was a dollar in his pocket, she had to have a measure of faith to believe that it was there, and it was. And we're going to explore how that applies to Father God. If you can please turn to the scripture, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. Or you can just listen if you're an auditory learner. So it's Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you who ask? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. So as we follow God's will, and as we look at the picture of our heavenly Father, the Father God, he is, that is who he is. If we as human beings would not do that to our own child, how much more will our Heavenly Father give to us? And another scripture that goes along with that is James, in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. If you can please turn there. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers, and this is the piece that's very important. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And that's the piece that I wanted you to say. Because in talking about who's behind those foster grants, there are some particular places that would put out the image that he's just a big bad guy with a big stick standing up there ready to judge us. And then there's the other image of the loving Father who does discipline his children, but in a loving way. So we're going to discover which one he is tonight. My dad was not only my dad, but he was also one of my best friends as I grew older. The memory of his optimism and love rings true in my ear to this day. It was only through the power and endurance of God's love and the blessing of a wonderful family and friends that carried me through when he passed away 7 years ago. My dad and I were very close. Although we were both busy people, me with my kids and him with his full-time job, we saw each other every week and always spoke on the phone. He was forever my best cheerleading squad, forever the optimist. He always said, "You can do or be anything if you try hard enough," which reminds me of the scripture, "You can do all things through Yeshua, the Messiah." As my mother said on the day of my wedding, and she's sitting right back there, when you fell, he always picked you up. He was there to help you to shake the dust off your feet and move on. This was especially hard for my dad to live out during my early teen years before I met Yeshua. It reminds me of the story about a father and a child relationship that was not always easy. So if you can please turn to the story of the prodigal son, which is in Luke 15, verse 11. There's many ways that you can look at the story, and we could probably go on and teach forever on it, but we're going to look at that one aspect as God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and then squandered his wealth in wild living." How often do we hear that today with young people? "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs." So here was this child who had inherited a huge estate, and here he is with the pigs in the field. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" Oftentimes, as young adults, we go along our own way, maybe in the wilds for a while, and then we decide to come back because we realize that those things that our parents have taught us, those things that are good and of the Lord, are true. And he said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, the key here, listen to this key. Listen to what the father's reaction was. A lot of times I know when my own child comes to me and he's done something wrong, I get really upset and really angry. "And the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him." How often do we as parents, are we filled with compassion when our kids do wrong? The first thought is, "Oh, I love you so much." It's not always that way. "He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.' So he realized his sin, and he truly did repent. 'I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now he is found.' So they began to celebrate." Although the son veered off the path and was rebellious and renounced his father's ways, he found out the hard way where sin can lead. And when he realized the truth, his father welcomed him with open arms. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father and how he is towards us as we seek him. It also speaks to God the Father's loving faithfulness. For when the son was faithless, the father remained faithful. When the son was entrenched in sin, the father did not turn away when he returned, like some fathers may have turned away from a son like this here on earth. But not our faithful Father God, as he opened his arms to him lovingly, welcoming him home. God's the Father's faithfulness is spoken of in Psalm 33:4, which reads, "For the word of the Lord is true. He is faithful in all that he does." We are like the prodigal son when we come to him. We're tired, our righteousness is of rags, we're rebellious to his ways because it says that none of us is perfect, all of us have sinned, before we accept him. But when we do accept him, he creates in us a clean heart and sweeps us up in his arms as we open our hearts to him. After I invited Yeshua into my heart and life, the first thing I realized at 16 years old was the love that my mom and my dad had for me. As I grew older, my relationship with my dad blossomed into a wonderful friendship. My dad was always willing to help out, not only those he knew, but those he reached out to those of mine and my brother's friends, and many of those who he came in contact when the opportunities presented themselves. He was extremely committed to community service and served on many different boards in his congregation and area communities. He even built a long-standing relationship with a man who wanted to convert to Judaism so he could marry a Jewish woman, and was in Walpole Prison. And my dad spent many, many days in that prison with this man, helping to teach him so that he could marry this woman. And after all was said and done, my dad could have turned away and said, I did my duty, I did my thing, see ya, but he didn't. He continued on in that relationship, and although that man had a lot of trouble, and he's in there for life, he continued on, and he still reached out to that man, and he probably didn't get many other visitors aside from my dad. Like that, although we may sometimes be in a spiritual prison, God the Father cares. He cares so much that he sent his own Son to die for our sins, that we might live, as it says in John 3:16, so that we may have everlasting life. He is always there to give us a helping hand, and none can snatch us from his hand, as we can see from John 10:29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. And as it says in John 10:10, the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. My dad had a great sense of humor about life, and at times would even send jokes to my husband via the computer. He also accepted Bob as if he was his own son. They shared a very close friendship. It got to the point that after a few years of marriage, my dad used to ask me, "How are you treating Bob?" And that's really saying something for a dad to say that to his daughter about his son-in-law. In Romans 8:15, it says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. By him, Yeshua, we can cry, Abba, Father." Galatians 4:6 says, "He sent his Son into our hearts so that we can cry, Abba, Father." And John 8:19 states that, "When you know me, you know the Father." He has created us to be like him, and he says, "The joy of the Lord is the strength of God's people." He must have a sense of humor, as he created me and has created the emotion of joy and happiness. My father was an adventurer and loved to share that with his children. For example, when I was in 8th or 9th grade, we flew into the wilderness in a seaplane. And we got dropped off in the middle of this wilderness for about 4 or 5 days. And as the seaplane was leaving off into the horizon, not the sunset because it was morning, but off into the distance, My younger brother and I realized, oops, we forgot our sleeping bags. So what did my dad do? He set up a lean-to, and him and my older brother slept in the lean-to while my younger brother and I were nestled cozily in their sleeping bags in the tent. Fortunately, the plane came a day later and dropped off our sleeping bags. And I really do thank God that the plane came back the next day for my dad's sake. My family will never forget the time we camped out on Keyser Pond in the wilderness up in Maine, and a hurricane blew in. So here we are in the wilderness. You have a certain amount of food set. You go in, and all of a sudden, a hurricane blows in. Well, we couldn't get out because we canoed in across Keyser Pond. It takes about 4 hours to get in there. And there was a hurricane, so we had to stay for few extra days, and he always had a good sense of humor about it, always tried to get everybody to their spirits up, even though you're sitting in a wet, drenched tent with little cups everywhere or tin cans with the water drips driving you crazy. So what happened was we started to venture back out, and we're canoeing, and we're trying to canoe, and all of a sudden we realized that the river had backflowed. And when the river backflows, basically you're paddling, and you're not going anywhere. But fortunately, there was a motorboat that we saw, and it came as we were trying to cross the middle of Keyser Pond, which is huge. It came, and it picked us up just in the nick of time and towed us back to our car safely. I have many stories like this that I could tell. As my father taught us about the spirit of adventure, God is never boring. He brings us a lifelong adventure as we come closer to him. Whenever he never gives us more than we can bear, and he is our rescuer with perfect timing, just as that motorboat was right there at the right time, so is our Father God, our protector who never lets us down if we choose to follow him. And it says in Matthew 7:21, He who does the will of the Father can spend eternity with him. My dad did not have an easy life, but when times got tough, he worked all the harder, forever the optimist, thinking and readying himself for things to turn around at any moment, never losing hope. He was like this up until the day he passed on. God the Father is the ultimate eternal optimist. As we once asked Yeshua into our heart, he sees us as cleansed, and as it says in Isaiah 1:18, our sins, though they may be as scarlet, he makes them white as snow. And it also says in Isaiah that we are the clay and he is the potter. Again, the scripture reaffirms that he sees us as a finished work, as perfected. He sees the end result. He sees the finished work living up to our full calling and potential in him as we try to do what's right to glorify him. When my dad found out that he had lung cancer in January of 97, he made the decision to seek out whatever treatment the doctors could give him that could possibly prolong his life. Although some of the treatments were very painful, he never stopped hoping and always endured, trying to do the best that he could do. There were even some occasions when my dad would let me pray for him, which had never happened before. The ironic thing about the situation was while my dad was getting sicker from the lung cancer, I was getting healthier, lifting weights and running up to 25 miles a week. Sometimes I would run from my house to my dad's, which was a good 5 miles. He would say to me, "You should run the marathon," forever the optimist. He was very proud to see me work so hard. It gave him a little inspiration, I think, too. God the Father, by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, is here to inspire us to do good works for him, and therefore he will be glorified. John 5:20 talks about, "Greater works will we do because he's in our heart." 6 months after my dad was diagnosed and 3 weeks before he passed away, we all went on a family vacation to the shores of Maine upon his request. Even my older brother flew in from Wisconsin with his family, and my dad was able to see all of his grandchildren. In the middle of the second week we were there, he was hospitalized and had to go back to Beth Israel Hospital in Boston with pneumonia, and soon after he passed away. He was just a tremendous person, and his spirit just made a tremendous impact in my life, and hopefully this will help his memory to live on. The last memory I have of my dad in the hospital room before he went to sleep was him reaching out to hold my hand as tight as he could. As weak as he was, he looked me straight in the eye, and with all the strength that he could possibly muster, he looked me right in the eye and he said, "I love you." That was my dad, selfless, caring for others more than himself, up until the very end. At first, when he passed away, I was devastated. I felt as if when I fell, there was no one there to catch me anymore. Over time, this has changed. I can now feel his presence in my heart and all the goodness of life that he shared with me. It would have been so easy to sink into everlasting despair and be bitter when such a great soul touches your heart in life, or about the hand that life dealt to me. More so, all the precious moments that were stolen away from my children with their grandpa. You see, he was the best grandpa in the world to them. Before my dad got sick, he enjoyed many happy times and active times with his grandchildren. He was determined not to let his sickness take away the joys of being with his grandchildren as long as he was able. Even as his leg was broken from a tumor which had grown there, and he had to crutch around, he would sit in his chair in the family room and still kick a ball to Jason with his good leg. When he first became sick with the cancer, he would still play hide-and-seek under the kitchen table with Jamie, down on all fours. After he broke his leg and had to crutch around, he still managed to make it to one of Jason's t-ball games. After the initial shock of the loss of my dad, I decided I would do some positive things with his memory. One positive thing I did was to initiate donating some children's books along with my family to Jason and his cousin's school here and in Wisconsin. Together, over 1,500 children from both schools initially benefited from this, as well as others in the years to follow. My daughter still today will go to her library and she'll open up a book and she'll see it dedicated to her grandpa. She still talks about that. My dad was a big believer in setting personal goals and reaching them. An opportunity arose the summer he passed away for me to get involved with gymnastics after a 20-year hiatus, long time. Secretly in my heart, for many years, I had wanted to return to the sport, but never felt that it would be possible because I was in my early 30s. Even to the point of me saying secretly to the Lord, when I get to heaven, there must be praisers who dance and sing, and there must be some gymnasts flipping around, and I'd like to be one of them. The following summer, I competed in the Bay State Games Women's Open, and for the following year also. I was 10 years older than the oldest gymnast there, and I say that, glory be to God, because if it wasn't for him, I could have never done that. It was like a minor miracle that I was able to train and do that after all those years. But my dad always inspired me to reach for the impossible. I dedicated my routines to him, and I believe God has also used this for the following 5 years as a point of interest, an icebreaker for me to talk and minister to teens, which I've been involved in with for many, many years, and many others. Hopefully this is just a start, a new beginning of inspirational goals that help to make this world a better place. I want to encourage you tonight that if you've suffered a tragedy in your life, that God the Father is there for you, reaching out to you with his loving arms, and he will accept you. I'd like to end with some final scriptures that tell about the character of our loving Father, our Heavenly Daddy. Deuteronomy 32:10 and Zechariah 2:8 say, "We are the apple of his eye." In Jeremiah it says, "He formed us in his womb." In Matthew 7:11, "You being evil, giving good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father give?" In Matthew 18, "That none would perish." Matthew 18:19, John 6:27, "The Father has sealed us." In John 6:44, "The Father draws us." John 8:19, "If you know the Father, you know Jesus." Luke 12:6, I'm going to close with this. Luke 12:6-7 says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered." And as you can see, I have lots of hair. So he must be pretty busy to be able to count all these hairs with you and I. He also says in that scripture, "Do not be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows." I pray that you've seen the truth that our Heavenly Father is truly a good and loving God, our healer, our protector, and that he loves you so that he sacrificed his own son so that you could live with him forever. I hope I have convinced you that he is our Heavenly Father who is our loving dad. Thank you.